your word. We thank you and we appropriate what we hear now by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. According to our teaching today, you have to complete your faith walk. You have to complete your faith walk. God being sovereign has decreed and spoken, and everything he speaks, he decrees, will come to pass. And so when he decrees faith, and the faith comes to its fruition, its completion, it will happen. It will happen. And this can be a great anchoring to the soul, an encouragement in whatever we go through, whatever it looks like, because we know that our salvation, our being here, listening today to this word, is not a mistake. So you have to complete your faith walk. And there are two scriptures that I want us to look at today in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, which says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, we recite that many times. We also sing it. But what we forget about that verse is the first part of it. We like the part where he's begun a good work and he will complete it. He will finish it. We will often recite that. We may say that before the Lord. But what about the first part of it, being confident? That's the question. And we're not always confident, are we? And that's the problem. You see, if we know that he's the author and finisher of our faith, and that he's called us from the foundation of the world, that should generate within us a sense of confidence. Not a confidence where we become arrogant and proud, or we rest on our laurels. No, no. It's a confidence knowing that whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm feeling, whatever I'm facing, I still have this confidence, and I feel confident because he has begun this work in me, and he's going to complete and fulfill it. Therefore, if God is to complete and fulfill, he has to keep me. He has to preserve me. He has to feed me. He has to provide for me. He has to keep me whole in order for him to accomplish and complete that which he has started. Now think about it, brothers and sisters. The enemy would have you think that it's a failure. The enemy would have you think that God's abandoned you or he doesn't love you. He is so subtle the way he suggests these things to the mind. But the apostle tells us here, be confident. God has not made any mistake. And for God's name to be glorified in and through you, he has to sustain and keep us. After all, he is the giver of life. He has chosen to glorify and manifest himself while still keeping us in this wicked world that we live in. Now, I don't know why God chose to do it that way, but he did. And therefore, God knows the wickedness of this age and generation that we live in. Therefore, he has and must provide. And God wants you to expect him to do that. Because that is a childlike faith. A childlike faith is simply going to trust and believe that God will provide. If I'm to survive, if I'm to confess Christ's faithfulness, if I'm to be a part of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, God has got to sustain and keep me for all of this. Because it doesn't glorify God if we're in the grave, does it? And so, with all that in mind, and thinking about that, this should work within us a confidence. A confidence where we can be look to the Lord and know that He won't let us down. There's such a lack of confidence today in the world. It's going in society as depression, oppression is taking over. Well, it shouldn't be in the house of God. On the contrary, because He started this work and He's going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. How can we be part of the bride of Christ if He doesn't sustain and keep her? On the contrary, the Bible says that He will provide. He is providing everything for her to make herself ready. And God is giving us everything in this walk, if we did but know it, to make ourselves ready. The trouble is we are still at times worldly, earthly, and we look to the wrong things. And we think they are the things out there that are helping, making us ready for the coming of the Lord, and they're not. We first and foremost have to put spiritual things first. This is why we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And this is why God wants from us that prayer life. How the enemy tried to keep us away from a prayer life. As we commune with God, as we walk with God, as we use those tongues that He's given us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, building ourselves up in our most holy faith, keeping in communion with God. As God is working on us, delivering us, working on our minds. Do you know, I heard something very interesting this week. Medical science has now said that sleep is essential for man. Well, we know that. The Bible says that God gives His beloved sleep. Now, maybe this might put some light as to why some of us at times are being attacked in the area of sleep. I know I am, but it's just a trial and it's not going to last in Jesus' name. But medical science has now observed and found that sleep is essential. Because when you are asleep, there are fluids, and they call them what they were, that come from the spinal cord that wash the brain over. And this washing of the brain is, you know, in a computer, you defrag a computer. And what it means is that all the files are being put back in order, because it's all got messy. And sleep does exactly the same to the brain. It is restoring all the information your brain is taking in, everything, and it's filing it. It's sorting it all out. And there is a special type of fluid that comes out of the spinal cord while you're in your sleep, that is refreshing, washing your brain down, restoring it, bringing it back, ready to meet the day ahead of you. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, we know a bit about that. But you know, they're just beginning to understand now what goes on when we're actually asleep. That the whole brain is renewing itself, reviving itself, cleaning itself up. Now, can we understand a little bit why the enemy would try to attack the overcomer, try to stop us from having that sleep? Because he doesn't want us experiencing the mind of Christ that Romans 12 tells us that we can and well, praise God. I was blessed by that. Nobody else was. Because because that's something to hold on to. And, you know, God is in control. He knows exactly what he's doing with us, you see. Because we know that is where the enemy attacks every time. It's in the mind. That's where he tries to work. That's where he wants to try and sow seed of sin and unbelief in the mind. Well, you have to complete your faith walk. Abraham had a faith that worked, and that God worked on his faith and brought his faith to its full completion in his earthly walk, did he not? And Abraham had quite a walk, quite a test. We know that he believed for many years for a son, until they were past their age of bearing. But God was still faithful. He gave them that son. Even though, through unbelief, Sarah, his wife, said, "You better go and have a son with my maid." But nevertheless, God proved his faithfulness and he gave him that son, Isaac. He had to come to completion in faith to receive that. Every step of faith and everything you are believing for, you have to come to that place of completion. So when you see something manifested, and there you hold it and you see it physically, you can say, "Praise God, my faith for this came to completion." It's manifested. Because Hebrews 11 and verse 1 tells us so, doesn't it? That faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So everything is in the spiritual faith realm until it's brought into our realm, manifested. Until then, we confess, we believe, we hold on to the promises of God's word. But when it is manifested, when it is seen, your believing for that has come to its fruition, completion. But it's part of the journey. It's part of the journey where other manifestations of faith will, at the right time, come. The same with Abraham. Faithful Abraham. And because he was a man of faith, God said to him, "See those stars up there? They will be your descendant. Can you count them?" "No, you can't. That is what I will bring forth from your seed. Believers. Salvation." That's what God was showing you. I mean, that's something to believe for. That is why we can hold on to our salvation for our loved ones. The very fact, think about it, the very fact that you are confessing your son, your daughter, your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, whoever it is, the very fact you are confessing their name before Almighty God is a sign of God's hand working on their lives to save them. The very fact that you are bringing that person before Almighty God is all in God's plan. It isn't a mistake. When I hear myself praying for someone, when I hear myself praying, "Father, have mercy over that person," it's not a mistake. God knew that I was going to say that before the foundation of the world. He knew, and he's used that in order that that person would be saved. And I say, "Father, on that day, please have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't block it out in your mercy." Is God going to turn a deaf ear to that? This is why, brothers and sisters, we can be confident with our faith. This is where our confidence comes. It's not just something you can build up. The confidence comes as you walk daily with the Lord and you see his mighty hand working in your circumstances, in your trials and everything. It's building this confidence. All the world may say, "Well, it looks a failure." It does. You know, our Heavenly Father worked a confidence in Christ to be able to meet that cross. He wouldn't have been able to meet it otherwise. I mean, he certainly wouldn't be here. And so, like with Abraham and all the saints, Their faith had to come to that completion. There's also something else in the scriptures here. If we turn to John chapter 6 and verse 29. John chapter 6 and verse 29. Here is what our Lord said. In fact, it says in verse 28, we'll take it from there, where Jesus speaks about himself being the bread from heaven. In verse 28, he says, "Then they said to him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?'" So they're seeing the works of God being wrought through Christ, miracles, listening to his preaching and so forth. He's come down as the bread from heaven, the Word, the living Word. And this is what it says in verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Do you want to work for God? Do you want to be active in the kingdom? There it is. And yet most Christians have got that one wrong. What did he say here again? To be active? He said, "This is the work of God, that you simply believe, have faith." And this is why, because there's so little faith to be found at times in God's house, this is why they're so busy, 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 busy doing, but never being before God. Because they have failed to see what faith will actually produce. So what you see so much that appears to be faith, in actual fact isn't. It's simply man's works, his ideas, his inventions of how to evangelize and how to get the people into the house of God. A little wonder that their consecration is so shallow. No depth, no maturity. The most busiest people in the house of God are the most unspiritual. They are. They don't really know God. And it's a fact. And the enemy will keep them at work. He'll keep you busy, thinking that you're doing God's work. But hear what Jesus said. I'm sure this took them by surprise when they heard this. This is the work of God. Just simply believe. Believe, and all things are possible. Because everything is going to be wrought then by faith. Because when it's faith, it is the Spirit that is doing it, the Holy Spirit. That is the point, you see. You know, finally, in Abraham's faith and his faith coming to completion, he had to demonstrate something at the end of his faith to finally complete his pilgrimage, if you like. Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19. Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' including that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones." You see, you have to be Hebrew to understand that. I'm not talking of the modern day Hebrews, but of the Old Covenant. They knew the promise that God had made, that he would make a nation out of them, that they would have a land, a promised land, that they would possess. And therefore, because they had revelation and understanding of that, their faith had to embrace that and believe for that. Their faith had to come, each saint's faith had to come to a completion in order for more and more to be revealed God's plan for the future. You see, God was, if you like, in many ways, and I think we forget this, God was unraveling revelation of his plan, his will for the world, for mankind, through the Hebrews. As we know, God intended through the failure of the children of Israel in which to use Israel to teach the nations. They failed at that. But God hasn't cast it off. Everything that God decrees will be accomplished. And all these saints that walk by faith from Abraham and so on, God is revealing covenant to them. He's revealing in that covenant that there is a land to be possessed, that there is a people that to be preserved, called out from darkness, salvation. And so their faith had to embrace and believe for all that God was unveiling over the centuries, that we today now hold in these 66 books what cost these men and women at times their lives, holding on by faith. Because if they didn't walk by faith, then who would God have in which to pass on revelation, teaching of God Almighty? God has chosen to do it this way. God could shout down from heaven and teach us that way if he wanted to, but he hasn't. He's chosen to use mankind in which to reveal himself through us, so that we share, we teach, we pass on that which we know of God. That is why, you see, so often you generally find a teacher, a minister, is one normally of mature age. I'm not saying that God can't use young men. He can. We know there's Timothy in the Bible. But the point that I'm getting to is that God will often use more of a mature person, because he is also imparting to the next generation, if God tarries, his experience of God in the light of the word that he teaches. So that it's not just a dead letter. You see. Now, if God tarries, I have to hold on and believe that the teaching that God is giving through this church, through the ministries, through our life, our witness, is going to carry on and sustain the next generation that will come, that will declare the Lord Jesus Christ. That's if he tarries. Because that's how God has done it. Through each generation, the revelation of this has been built up. And that's why we walk by faith. The ultimate of our faith walk is by faith keeping, holding on and believing the revelation of this word. And the promises which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Because if it's not going to be fully accomplished through us, it will eventually through some generation. It certainly will. And so Abraham was a saint who saw this and held on to this and believed for this. And therefore he had to have an inheritor to carry on with this. And he said, I have no son, I have no inheritor, I have no one to pass this on to. To pass what? The revelation of God and what he's doing and saying. And blessings, you see. God imparted through these men when they blessed. There was an anointing upon those hands when they laid hands upon them. When they prayed by the Spirit. Here, when we read here, it says, By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of his departure from the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, worshipping, leaning on the top of his staff. Blessing meant the impartation, the laying on of hands. So this passed on to the next generation. And God honored that. And all the blessing, revelation, teaching, unction of the Spirit was passed on. And of course we know that today Roman Catholics have taken that, where they believe that priests are the only ones, the true priesthood, that can lay hands, and that can be imparted on to other priests. So you see, they've taken something out of context. It's not for us today. We're now baptized in the Holy Spirit. God's meeting us in a different way. Under the old covenant, the Holy Spirit could fall and he could depart. And when he would fall, then many of them would prophesy. The gifts would be in operation, but he would also leave. That doesn't happen now under new covenant. He now lives, resides in us. You see. But what is happening here, God is preserving revelation. He's preserving a remnant. He's revealing through every generation, faith must come to its completion. Until finally, when we see what it will produce, and that is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We're all part of that plan. That is why we're of Abraham's seed, the blessing of his seed. You see. And you can see now why the enemy tries to attack us. We can see why the enemy tries to destroy the body of Christ, tries to destroy our fellowship, our coming together. You see what he does. And yet so many Christians are asleep to this. We see Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. It means that God was allowing his faith to be tested. Now God isn't going to test you unless you're going to get the victory. So God had confidence in Abraham, knowing that he would do exactly what he would tell him to do. It's a testing of obedience. And when we come to that place where we will not question, but we will do what God says, we will start to see our faith coming to its completion, fulfillment. See, the bride that makes herself ready, she does it in obedience. And she doesn't question. She doesn't come back and say, I don't like some of the ways you're getting me ready to become married to you. You know, I've got some problems about this. She doesn't question. She knows that everything that God is doing, everything is working to clean her, to cleanse her, to get her presented ready for the marriage feast. Doesn't question it. Abraham here has come to a place and walk of his faith where he has got his son, his promise, his heir, the apple of his eye, and now God says, you're going to offer him up to me. And he doesn't question, he simply goes ahead because he's in faith, he believes, and his faith believes that God will provide. And when he left the servant, he said, we will be back. We'll be back. That's what he said. You probably thought to yourself, did I say that? Did that come out well? I'm not going to question it. That's faith speaking. Sometimes you can hear faith speaking out of you. I've come away and thought, hang on, what did I just say? And I think, no, I'm not going to get my mind in that. That was faith speaking. See, the mind, the enemy's trying to get straight in where you've just confessed a confession of faith, and he's trying to get you to take that back or question it. Don't do it. Just put it straight under the blood of Jesus. Faith knows how to speak. You don't have to tell faith how to speak. If faith is present, faith will just confess and act and believe. And so, and it says, and he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten Son, of whom it was said, in Isaac, your seed shall be called. You see, Abraham had a revelation of the next generation that was going to follow God. And he knew that his son, Isaac, who was blessed, was the next generation to continue to walk with God. And he knew that God would not destroy the next in line to glorify his name. He had such confidence with God that God, if even if he was slain, God would raise him up. He would raise him up. Because Abraham had revelation and understanding that God was working with generations. How do we know? Because God showed him all the stars of heaven. He saw that way back. And God made covenant with him. And he knew what God was saying there, because it was divinely revealed. Nobody could take that out of Abraham's heart. That is why when God reveals himself, he reveals his word to you, nobody can take it out of your heart unless you let the enemy do it. You see? It is there for a purpose and a reason. Revelation is so essential to faith. Because faith needs revelation and revelation needs faith. And that is why faith comes by hearing the word of God. It has to be revelation. It has to be the unction, the anointing. Otherwise it doesn't work. If it's simply man's teaching coming out of his mind, his own flesh, you can't release mixed faith for that. And that's why so many things go wrong. You see. But when everything is guiding and leading us back to the word of God, God's given us that word to confirm the revelation that you are receiving. That's why we test the spirits. We test the spirits because we find, is that revelation from God or not? That's the question. Is that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaking or not? Now, it doesn't necessarily mean to say that it's a demonic spirit or a spirit of deception speaking. It certainly can be. But very often, it's just coming from the flesh, the soul, man's imagination. And we know what man's imagination is. We know clearly what the Bible says man's imagination is. It's soulish, it's devilish. It's of the world, you see. Hallelujah. And so faith, Abraham's faith, his total obedience justified him. And that's why we're justified by faith. Simply on the grounds of believing. And that is why you can have a confidence in your salvation. You can have a confidence knowing that God is working things out in my life, my family, my circumstances, everything that God's called me to, whether it's your work, your family, your job, your wife, your husband, whatever God's called you to, he's working everything out together for good. You see. That's why you don't have to run away from it like so many people do. So many people today are not committed. They run away. And I have to say, sadly, men are the worst for this. This is why so many men at times run away from their commitment in marriage, particularly if children is there. Well, we can have a confidence that God has made no mistake. Whatever our circumstances, whatever we find ourselves in, whether you have family or you don't have family, whether you're married or you're not married, whatever your circumstances, whatever your calling, God is going to complete that. And he makes no mistake. And it is wrong for Christians to try and map out what they think a person's life should be. And people do it, and it's been done in this church. It is a sovereign work over every person. And God knows the best way in which to work through you to make you happy, blessed in his presence. So leave people alone and let God do what he's doing. All we need to do is pray one for another. That is what is needed. To pray that my brother or my sister will fulfill and be faithful to what you have called them to and for is the most powerful prayer you can pray one for another. Because God will hear that. When we start to try and pick it around and try to get technical and detailed and try to bring in psychology and everything, those prayers will go no higher than the ceiling. And we have to line them up with the Word of God. That's why God wants our faith to come to completion. I want my brothers, my sister, their faith, what they're going to come to completion. Yes, even some that are not here, even some who are going through great trial or physical trial, Father, you are still going to bring their faith through to completion. That's why we can hold on to divine healing. That's why we can hold on to the promises of God, which are yes and amen. You see. Oh, if we just could grasp all of this, we find ourselves not worrying, having any anxiety, getting upset anymore. We just let go and let God take over. Hallelujah. And just live for this day and meet God and enjoy him. You know, our salvation is about enjoying God's presence. It's not a drudge. And how the enemy tries to bring depression, oppression on us. But it isn't. God's presence is to be enjoyed. His presence is to be experienced. You can have nothing greater than God's presence in your life each day. And he wants you to expect his presence there every moment of the day as you're walking, wherever, whatever you're doing. Yes, even at work. God's presence is there. He wants us to believe for that. He wants us to expect that. This all helps to build this confidence in us that work which he began, he will complete and finish. Hallelujah. And so Abraham, he believed God's promises and it's counted righteousness for him. And that's the same for every believer, those who believe by faith, as Romans 4 tells us. Noah had a faith, didn't he, that pleased God? And his obedience saved the human race. Did you know that? We tend to forget that actually Noah's faith, which produced obedience in building that ark, saved the human race. You're here today because of Noah. And we shall have him to thank for his obedience in believing God. Because God was going to destroy all flesh on the earth. That's what he was going to do. But his mercy and his grace and revealing himself through a seed, through covenant, chose to save a mere few souls, which he did. Hallelujah. And so, foolishly, for 120 years, we're told, building this ark, looking ridiculous, and as it's coming to its completion, it must have looked even more and more stupid. He built that ark under ridicule, laughter, for how he built that thing. Sounds familiar, does it?
Mm-hmm.
But one day, the tune was different. When they started to beat to come in, they realized that God was judging. And it's going to repeat itself again. Jesus said that the judgment on the earth will be like a type of Noah again. But at the moment, people are laughing, enjoying themselves, no trials, no cares, totally free, live and do exactly as they want. And sometimes I know it's hard. They don't seem to have a care in the world. And not only that, but they seem to be blessed. And here we are, going through what we're going through. You know, it just doesn't seem fair. Well, hold on there. Hold on, because the day is going to change.
Amen.
You mark my words. It is going to change.
Glory to Jesus.
And they will not be laughing anymore.
No.
They will be desperate.
Amen.
But sadly, it'll be too late. Because the call is going out now. That is the whole point. You're here because you responded to that call. You see, our faith is often like a house being built, isn't it? It's that foundation first. And so like any foundation, you know, you're just getting an idea of what this house is going to look like. But it's a mess, isn't it? The foundation, when it started, is still open to the elements of the world and rain, snow, and you name it. It's just bare, it's open, but you're getting an idea of sort of the size and what it's going to be, and gradually they start to build upon that foundation, and then the bricks started to be laid, and then it starts to begin to look something like a house, and then you've got all the walls there, but it's still not complete yet because you need a roof. And so when the roof starts to go on, it's really beginning to look like a house, you know. It's taking shape now and everything. And then finally, they start to put the windows and the doors in, and then they finish it off all inside, and it then looks complete. Because then you can inhabit it. You can then go and live in it. And our faith is exactly the same. As God is building faith, it can look really raw and open. It can look so negative. But God's building on it. You are his building. You are his vessels of honor. Filled, fit for the master's use. But sometimes faith, like that house that's being built, it just looks really, just all you can see is cement and dust and bricks and whatever. You think, can anybody live in this? But it's amazing how it comes to completion. You know, I watched some houses near us going up. Believe me, they went up pretty quickly. But, you know, when the foundations were there, you just thought, what on earth are they going to build here? But now they've actually built them and finished them, they look pretty presentable. They look very nice. And it's just like our faith. Because God is building it. Does it seem as though your faith is a mess? Yes. When you step out in faith and believe according to the promises of God's word for a season, it looks as though your faith is a mess, doesn't it? You know, am I really believing? Is it going to happen? You know, I seem to have taken two steps back in this confession of faith. That's how it happens with me. I mean, surely I can't be the only one. You know, the enemy sort of says, well, you're not going to take a step of faith. You know what happens? It's like you take two steps back, doesn't it? And you know there's going to be trials, and you know it's going to hurt, and you always get to the point, I don't believe in more. No, just leave me alone. No, I'm quite happy now. But we can't be like that, brothers and sisters. We have to move forward. We have to believe. We have to hold on. We have to believe these promises. Yes, there may be some pain. Yes, it might look a mess. It might seem as though you take two steps back because it's building. But look what's going to be at the end of it. Amen. Amen. Stay in there. You know, sometimes when you see these promises and you bring these promises before God, you say, Father, I'm going to take that, I'm going to believe that, I'm going to receive that. It seems to go further and further and further away, doesn't it? Until it almost goes out of distance. You know, Lord, did you really hear? You know, and you feel as though, I better just pray it again. Pray it again. No. We ought to do Mark 11:24, wherefore said the thing you ask, when you believe, you have received. All you start doing is praising, thanking God. Confess and thank Him. He wants to hear the positive, not the negative. And I know sometimes, Lord, how long is this going to take? How long? I know we've all been tempted. But God will always be on time, brothers and sisters. He really, really will. These experiences, as I close now, are all part of the completion of our faith and the work that He's doing through us. That's why it takes time. That's why God isn't rushing it. This is why the man-child is developing, coming to that place, that development. There's going to be no zealous midwives trying to rush any of this. Faith will come to its completion for God's glory. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you today. We all need to hear this. We all know that we're in this walk and that we're believing, trusting you. And as you have said today, you will be faithful. You will not deny us. And we can be confident about this because our faith is about your will and your glory. Our faith started first with you, not with us. Our confession, believing for the promises in your word, started first from you, not from us. Therefore, Lord, we are confident in your presence, in our faith and our walk. And we thank you for this now, in Jesus' name. Amen.